Hi, welcome back. Episode number 6?
This one was your last title, so this one plus one, I think, is probably
the last sufficient. One plus one?
Yeah, last one plus one.
All right, that works.
I think we're... Have we got a record deal yet?
No. I thought you were handling that.
That and a whole lot of other stuff.
Wait, what have we got? Where's my share?
You have your share. Right along with mine.
All right, I'm in.
All right.
So, last week, I believe you gave me some homework?
I did.
All right, what was it?
We were talking about how the Bible says all things are lawful for those who believe, but not profitable. And the challenge was where do you draw the line? How does that apply in your life?
I was thinking about it, and it's really hard to answer, mainly because you get into your open hand theology a little too easily with that, it would seem.
Open hand theology, you mean like theology that the Bible doesn't say for sure?
Yes.
Things you have to kind of work your way in between.
Yeah.
Well,
and then you would start judging people more on convictions. It's a very fine line I think you would have to walk.
Well, you know, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're actually supposed to judge Christians. When people say, don't judge me.
No, but judging by your own convictions.
Right. Right. And that's true. And yeah. That's true. You're judging my own convictions. That's very well said. That's my phone that just went off.
Yep.
Okay. Oops.
Yep.
And on another table. But we still have to decide what's right. There are environments where things are right and where they're wrong. There are environments where it's okay for me to do something and where it's not. And we should pay attention to that. Because if we don't, then we can violate a closed hand theology, and that is causing your brother to stumble, which is closed hand theology.
Nice.
Yeah. That was well done, wasn't it? Today's lesson is on electricity.
Really?
Yes, if you have a battery-powered computer that lasts for 30 minutes because the battery is dying, and plug it into a surge protector that is not turned on, what good are you doing?
No good at all.
No good at all. But we've resolved that.
Yeah. And we have a special guest who looks like she wants to talk.
All of our special guests.
Hi, I'm Emily.
Hi. We didn't even introduce ourselves.
No, we haven't sure introduced, didn't. But everyone knows who we are.
Yes, because yes. we're internet famous.
We are internet famous. We actually have we have people listening to this all over the city.
I was going to go building.
All over the building.
Yes.
All over the room. No, we have people listening as far as Egypt and New Zealand.
What about Saskatchewan?
I don't know where that is.
I don't think they have internet there.
No.
But I know that when we go online and we look at all the people that are logging on, it's pretty impressive. Did not realize how quickly that this stuff gets around.
It's almost like this is, you know, the way to live your life.
Nationwide, worldwide.
Yeah.
But that's what the Bible said is going nation. So let's go back to the question. I mean, like even something as simple as card playing. You know, a few years ago, I had a parent. Of a youth.
You had a parent?
I had a parent of a youth. Yes, I had a parent. That's what I had. They came out as a parent. And I had them. Not my wife. But I had a parent of a youth that showed up and were playing cards. And that parent felt like cards were the devil. Because there's a lot of... It's actually a very common idea that the Jack of Spades, the Jack of some of these cards that they say, well, this means this. And I mean, I don't know how far you can go with that, but that parent was very, very put off by it. So, and that's where I talk about, that's where the deal comes down. It's not so much for myself. It's, okay, I've got to balance. Paul wasn't saying that so you kill yourself spiritually.
Yeah.
His thing is taking it so you have a caution sign and a litmus test when you're around certain people, when you've got to tone down things that would otherwise be okay. And that's where I think all of us have to do. Like laughing, for instance. Laughing can mean so many things. To some person, it could be, I think you're funny. To other people, it's, you look funny. You know?
Mm-hmm. I get both types of laughter.
Can they hear me nodding my head?
No.
Oh. We should get a vocal effect for that, a sound effect. So, New Year's, Christmas, good? Christmas was good?
It was a Christmas.
Mine was fantastic. Emily, was your Christmas good?
It was wonderful.
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Do anything great?
For Christmas? Just family. Lots of family time.
You know what I found?
But that's always good.
Just family is everything good. That's what we had. We had just family in North Carolina or Northern Georgia. And it was wonderful. New Year's is great. And here we are.
Yes, we are.
Ready to roll. What we got for us today?
All right. We have a few questions. A couple statements. A little bit of everything. Hmm. All right. Question number one. All right. I know God answers our prayers. But will he be able to answer all our prayers whenever we really need something or make something happen sooner or later?
God does answer everything. Whether or not we like the answer is another question. But he does answer all the time.
And some of those answers, sometimes the answers are not what we would define as an answer, just another event. Mm-hmm. The answer, I mean, you ask God, God, should I marry this woman? And then another woman shows up that you really like a whole lot more. Now, that can be taken out of context here, but God should, you know, well, God, should I buy this car? And then you lose your job, you know, and so you're waiting for an answer from God, but events have, you know, come and answered it for you. God does answer all of our prayers. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's attentive to all ours. Now, who is our? Is our just anyone crying out to God, praying to God? You know, there's a lot of people who quote the Lord's Shepherd, but they're not Christians. Does it do any good? Really? Does it do any good? I can't see that as harm to cry out to God.
It doesn't.
You know, but just because you pray for something, does that mean you're in the position to receive it?
I think as Christians, we become God's children. And like all parents, you hear your children and they have, you give them what they want. Or you know, when they ask for things, you do take that time to see, do they need it? Do they not need it later? Do they not get it at all? And so as a parent, that's kind of what God does in a way for us.
Yeah. It says he knows above what we can ask, hope, or dream of, or think of. So that being the case, he knows the things that we need before we need them. And he knows the things that we want, even when we think we want our things. And that's how good of a God he is. So he does hear us all. He does hear every last one of us. But he does not answer a lot of the ways, in the timeline especially, that we want. Mm-hmm. But he does what's good for us, and that's for sure. Does God answer prayers with bad things? Do you pray for God to let you become a doctor and then you have cancer? Like, some people go that far to say that. Well, I got cancer, that must have been my answer. No. Events happen. Events aren't necessarily answers.
But answers can be events.
God can use events. And maybe instead of answers, to make you think about your question, so you retract your own question. You know what I'm saying? I think it's more of a, I don't need this question anymore.
You can take back requests?
Why not? I once, you know, this is very weird. Okay. But when I was a kid, I was trying to, it's very weird, but I was trying to impress people with my boxing skill. So I staged a boxing event. Only there was no one to fight with. So I punched myself in the eye for 3 hours because I was trying to, go ahead and laugh.
I don't think I can hear me blink either.
Please laugh. Please blink. Please make some type of vocal noise. I was much younger than this. I watched
much
my,
younger.
I watched 18, my, 19? Oh no, I was much younger. But I punched myself in the eye and realized later that I didn't want to impress people. Can they hear me blush?
No.
But it's the truth. So we want some dumb things sometimes. We ask some, and we ask some questions that are improper to ask. And sometimes life's events teaches us, you know what? I shouldn't have asked for that. Mm-hmm. Or I want better, or I want different. So that's my answer.
All right, moving on to question number two. All right, guess what?
What's that?
I know it's part of the question.
Oh, darn.
My son has 3 D's, 1 F, and 1 B for the fall semester. Why is it that I can be a wife, mother, teacher, grad student, 4.0 GPA, church treasurer, and so on and so on, and achieve success in those areas, yet he who scored a 32 on the ACT 3 times cannot even have at least one successful semester? He's not home right now. And thank the Lord, because I find it extremely difficult to hold it together. Answer me as a pastor, colleague, certified therapist. Is she trying to drop titles?
Well, those are all the same. No, that's what I am. You know, I hate to tell you, but I'm so far All three.
Or perhaps a friend. And tell me what to do. By the way, he has lost all of his scholarships since last fall and has paid for everything himself. I refused to pay for an education that was going to be cost-free. I bought him transportation to commute to school. In return, he knew he had to keep those grades. For your information, I have spoken to our youth pastor months ago and asked him to speak to my son because we are out of answers. I don't think it worked. Sad face. Patrick, that's you. Tell me, what is it going to take to make him understand that he has to put forth effort to succeed? Yes, I know you said that there are some lessons in life that life has to teach, but how many semesters of failing grades will it take? Please advise. I got something to say.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, many of you people in the wonderful land of the internet don't know me, but I used to be weird. Weirder than punching yourself in the eye.
And then last week.
And then last week it all turned around. No. But, you know, life, a lot of the times, do have to learn. You live your life a certain way, it's your life. You have to make the choices. You know, as a mother, I would suggest, you know, you try and lead them the right way. Don't reward them for the bad grades. I'd take away the car. But I'd rule with an iron fist. But my parents, you all went through a weird phase, you know, into the darkness, as you will, wearing black clothes and lipstick. Like I said, I was weird.
Did they hear me blinking?
No.
Oh.
But you know, my parents wouldn't stand for it. They, if I wanted to dress that way, act that way, they allowed me to, but not if I was near them, with them, or anything like that. And eventually I realized, I look like a retard.
I think that goes with the last question that he has.
All right. Anybody else?
I think what you said is comically very true. I think it's for a lot of us. First, I'm going to go back. 4.0 GPA, that's nothing. I had a 63.
Really?
Yeah, I had a 63 average.
You ruined for everybody else, didn't you?
That was pretty awesome. I don't know what this group is. If we keep bragging on these 3.5s and 4.0s, I was in the double digits. And all I got was a please get out of here. I'm joking. I hope someone's laughing.
I just got it.
Well, here's the deal. I tell my students this. I am a teacher.
You are?
I am a teacher. The university system was not set up for people just to go to find things, right? The university system was set up for people who had a direction and wanted to be licensed or certified or go to school and get this education, become an expert. So they would go through an apprenticeship. So you didn't decide you'd be a dentist out of grade school. You got out of grade school and then you worked as an apprentice for a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. And you worked there for years until that lawyer felt like you were ready to go. And that lawyer who graduated from that college would contact the college. That's where we get all the
alumni.
That's where alumni comes from. Alumni, if I graduate from university and you're my intern, when I contact the university, my word is strong, unless I send someone that totally flops out. But that's how it would work. Nowadays, it's big business. You know, we have a ton of universities, so we're taking kids right out of high school, we're throwing them at college and saying, finding out what you need to do. Helen Keller said that college is a terrible place to go to find out new ideas. I think that's hilarious, because it's true. College.
I thought Helen Keller couldn't talk.
Well, Helen Keller could talk just in a new, different way. And she's a personal hero of mine, too, by the way. Helen Keller is an amazing person. But back to the deal with university is I think sometimes we take people who are very intelligent, the ACT is not a measure of academics. It's a measure of aptitude. It's a difference. It's a huge difference. Aptitude being the ability to learn wide amounts of knowledge. So your son is able to really get out, you know, he can learn very quickly things. He can take things in and apply things and assess things. That doesn't mean he's decided what he wants to do. And I find in my own life, I had a very high testing scores and whatnot. And I graduated the top 75% of my class, you know, of high school. I mean, I had slotted, that's pretty impressive, I know. I had slotted
No, it's not.
I'm judging you by Louisiana standards. Yeah. Elementary school, I'm testing, I'm getting these national awards, and by high school, I'm ready to drop out because I wasn't interested. When I figured out what I wanted to do, I nailed down and got to it. So I don't think that it's something to be too alarmed about, because you can't force your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband to have your desires and your dreams. The overall, girls do a whole lot better initially at the college thing than guys do. There's a whole lot of statistics out there, but a lot of, the classroom setting is just not made for a young man. It's just not. You sitting still, listening to his long lecture, it's just not how we're wired. So I wouldn't get too uptight about it. He's got to learn some hard lessons, and it's hard to sit back and watch that happen. But we survive. I people look at me today, and here we are. I'm the therapist, the teacher, the coach, the minister, and no one sees that I was the same at 18 years old. I just did not know what I wanted to do. I walked away from some perfectly good opportunities, and that's something that this young man is also going to have to realize, is that there are windows that are open right now that he's closing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he will have to look back and realize and pass on to his children and try to pass on to those he can affect. But there are windows that are open right now in his life that will not be open in times to come. And that can scare a parent, because you can be nervous about what the possible ramification of that is. But I think if you're supporting him for going to school, and that was your arrangement, then you have every right to say, okay, my support was for you to go to school. You're not going to school. You're making this decision as a man. You need to make your own way now. I look at my own children. I have to be very careful, because I'm offering, and I'm going to give some biblical advice, some biblical perspective here in a second, but offering just some perspective. I don't have a child in that situation. Let's be clear with that. And I think everybody has to do what they can sleep with. So if I cannot cut my son off, and I would rather just go broke keeping him to where he finally figures things out, then so be it. But it is okay to allow him to some stretch room and say, okay, you want to be a man, go be a man. If you're not going to let him starve, so there's no need to say you're not going to eat again or another. Don't draw any lines you don't want to have to try to enforce, but make him go out there, make him get a job. That definitely don't let him stay home. That would be we go out to the man. He who does not work does not eat. And I was telling a student today who was a little upset that her father's telling her she can't get a job, that she has to finish school. I was telling her, your father's telling you right. Your school is your job. And as long as you're in school, that's your job. That's how I'm going to handle my children. That's how I'm going to handle within our home. But if they're not going to go to school, you need to get out there as a young man, as a young woman, get active, get your hands going, find out what you want to do. I realized I needed an education when I just got out of the military. I was an E6, just about becoming E7, which is a sergeant first class in the Army, and all I can do is wash cars. And then suddenly, I knew I had to get an education. I finished my 4-year degree program in 3.5 years, and I changed my major when I was in my junior, senior year of psychology. So it can be done, and when it's time, it will be done.
All right, now here's a question. At what age are you too old to figure out what you want? Because on a good day, I'm 27, I have no idea what I want.
I think when you're dead, because Chris, honestly, I have figured out what I want to do with my life at this point. I want to be a pediatric surgeon. That's what I want to do. Now, my window right now is not where I can do that. I've got children. I've got a family support. I cannot go to school for that. But my wife and I, this is something we want to do. It's going to be 20 or 30 years before we're able to do this. But when I was going to college, one of the most enlightening and really comforting things I saw were 60-year-olds in college. Because it let me know, I don't care where I go, I can change. I can restart. So if I want to do something else, I can. Okay. I'm 35. And at 35 years old, I've done a lot. Wow. I've traveled a lot. I've held a bunch of different positions. I've been able to try different things on and stay in them long enough to get good at them and to really get deep. This is what I want to do. I've been teaching since 2001, 2002. In the future, I'll be doing something else. Not everybody wants to do the same thing for 50 years, and that's not instability. Instability is when you can't depend on somebody. If I tell you I'm going to be here for 5 years, and in 1 year I'm antsy, I'm out, that's instability. But if I tell you, listen, this is short term, that's not instability. I'm telling you where I'm at. If you hire me, if you bring me on, you've done that. Get back to the question. I think you offer up to the Lord. Again, I would not let him stay home. A man who does not work does not eat. But I would not, you and your husband, I would not get in a position where, you know, the Bible also says, don't provoke your children to wrath. Mm-hmm. Don't hold them hostage to a whole different group of people who's supposed to do stuff. I'm going to let you know that the college dropout rate in Louisiana is ridiculously high. It's ridiculous. It's above 90%.
Isn't it high nationally?
Yes, it is. But Louisiana is especially high. The number of students that make it from they start college to graduate in 4 years is ridiculously low. It's mm-hmm. just not. It's almost under 10%.
Friend of mine has been in since he got out of high school, and how many years ago was that?
Seven.
That's a long time. Those guys are supposed to be doctors when they get out. When it's been that long, but
I believe our special guest had something to add to the question.
That's right.
Well, just for me, I know I screwed up a lot in college. And I had taken out loans, but I did lose some of the scholarships that I had. And my parents chose to continue to co-sign the loans for me. But now that I've graduated, I know that I have to pay these loans. I chose to go to private education. And so my goal now is focused on doing what I have to do, what it takes, so that my parents don't have to endure that loan themselves. And it just took time for me to realize really what I was screwing up and what I was doing to myself. And in the long run, I regret a lot of the decisions I made, but they were decisions I chose to make.
And they matured you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see things, you see responsibility now different than you did when you were 18 years old. And I'm confident with this young man, there is some wisdom here. There is a foundation for wisdom here. And I'm very confident that as he matures, he's going to learn responsible things. There is nothing like the construction company, the construction world. Because in the construction world, you go into a site that's dirt. And you leave with a building, and you learn how to be proud of being a part of something, to be counted on. You know, it might take that. I wouldn't let it destroy your walk and your direction and your relationship, because right now he's going to go the way he's going to go. Mm-hmm. And I tell parents, there's two lists the child has. There's two lists every child has. It's the every person has them. This is the list of people I will call when my world falls to nothing. And there's another list of people I will not call. And unfortunately, a lot of parents put themselves on list B. I had a close friend of mine, and we'll get to, I know we have to get to another question, but, you know, we promised to answer the questions. I had a very close friend of mine whose daughter wanted to, was really, really, really rebellious. And she's wanting to go on this bike ride across the nation. I'm friends with a very close friends of the family. The stance, it was very hard for them. But for whatever reason, they found themselves on list B. She gets on this bike ride, and she gets up there, and there's a terrible car accident. One of the guys riding the bikes is run over right in front of them. She didn't call them. They found out via the grapevine. That crushed them. You know, I with my own children, I know this is going to be a fight for me. I know I'm going to have to really work hard at this. But I want them to be able to trust that no matter what I do wrong, I'll call my dad and he will be there. I want to be on top of list A. And I think where this person is in the relationship with their child, I see this transition a lot. I've helped a lot of teenagers and parents go through this transition over the last 15 years. And it's hard to see your son as or your daughter as growing, as maturing, as giving them the right to almost hang themselves. Mm-hmm. And loving them in a way that if they realize the rope is tight, they can reach out and you're only arm distance away and you can cut the rope for them. Because it's not out of place anymore. If you try to fit that rope, if you try to put your hands on it, all you're going to get is conflict. You know, and I'm sure that's not what you want to hear. But your son is past his baby years. He's past the I can slap your hand years. And God does not hold you responsible for his bad decisions if you have followed Ezekiel when he's talking about the watchman. If you as a parent have raised your child the way you can, if you've warned your child of things, and and the child is making decisions, God's not holding you responsible for that. And you might have to let this go. You might have to give this to the Lord as an offering. You know, it's a hard thing, but your child's going to learn some very valuable lessons that only life can teach. And the longer that waits to happen, it's like chicken pox. The harder those lessons are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's pretty much going to do this episode.
Okay.
I have homework, but a little different this time. I have one for you.
You have homework for me?
Yes.
You did not prep me for this.
No, I didn't. That's how it works.
Oh. Around here?
Yep.
Pop quiz.
Pop quiz. Right. Wait, Emily's been very talkative today. I just want to say this.
So we should have time. I'm adjusting.
Well, you'll be here next time.
But it is great because, you know, it's just us in a room. And I have to say this for
fake
you.
Internet, fake internet studios.
Fake internet studios. Here you are. And, you know, I do want to say that God's been blessing us. We've got some pretty cool equipment coming in. We've got to learn how to use it. Some really good ideas. And there's a lot of pretty good people that are very talented that are beginning, their ears are turning this direction. So we're pretty excited. And I enjoy this time. You know, coming out the house, it's been a stressful day. And coming out the house got really delayed, as you well know. Really frustrated getting over here. But it's really enjoyable to get on here and see these people that have these needs. You know, it's really, really nice being a part of that and being a part of, you know, being entrusted with giving that objective answer. So what I would like to invite people to do is in the comments section, add your comments. Yeah. You know,
well, if you would like to complain, especially if it has to do with Pat, go for it. I won't mind.
Just do that on someone else's blog. No, but if we're going to have objective, if we're going to have true objectivity, people have to be able to speak their mind.
Oh, yeah. I support it fully.
And if there's a parent out there who's listening to this and they have some advice that you've gone through this and you can chime in, then by all means, please do that.
All right. So.
What's my homework?
All right. Basically, it's just something I've been thinking about for the past couple of days. As you know, it's 2012.
2012.
Okay. This does not have anything to do with the Mayan calendar. I know that's what you were thinking. But pretty much with the elections coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do I differentiate between my personal beliefs and my beliefs as a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, basically, there are things you should not do.
Right.
But as a human with free will, there are things you should have to be able to choose from.
There are things.
Okay. I believe, you know, basically, your life, if you want to screw it up, you can. But at the same time, the other side of me is like, the Christian side of me is like, they shouldn't.
Right.
For example, I support, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, it's what I believe, that all drugs should be legal. Personally, I think drugs are wrong. Drugs have ruined many members of my family's lives. But at the same time, it's your body. If it doesn't affect another person, you should be able to do it. How do I draw the line between that and my faith?
You're going to make me wait till next episode to answer this.
On a well thought out
response. What we need is an episode just for this. It's a great question. And that's not a homework assignment. That's a thesis paper.
There's lots of answers in that question.
Oh, I'm going to get some phone calls on this one.
Hey.
All right. Well, you know, we thank everyone for listening and Emily for coming down. I'm sure you're going to come around next time. If you'd like to be on the show, just email us. And, you know, you can come to Fake Internet Studios. All we're going to tell you is think.
And bring something to drink.
Yes. Yeah, bring something to drink. All right. Bibles are welcome. Mm-hmm. We have ours on a computer.
Yes.
And on phones. I love Bible apps.
Call. Leave us a message. 504-264-ASK-1.
You can ask more than one.
But no, you can't. Okay, you can.
You can. Because we can break it up.
Yeah. Or email us questions@chrisaskthehaz.com.
That's new.
Yes, it is. Hadn't told him yet. All right, and that's it. We're it.
That's it.
I got the last word this time.
You did.
Yes, I did.
Yep.
Stop.
Okay.